Amen. Well, I'm going to read a few scriptures and talk for 25 minutes. How's that sound? It's a special day and a day of transition. John and I were, but twice a year we go to the worst movie in town with Owen and Val. So we did that on Friday night. This time it was The Darkest Hour or something. It's a very, but it's about leadership. It's about a lot of things. But we're very privileged to be a part of your lives, your pastor's life, and part of what God is doing. That's all we want to be. It's part of what God is doing. I'm going to speak to this subject today of succession, transition, wherever we're at, whatever it's about. And as I recall the word of God, I had so many thoughts. There's lots of succession and transition in the Bible. Read the book of Kings, Chronicles. Every time there's a king, it passes on. There's fathers to sons. It's just that's what life is all about, isn't it? It's all about investing our lives in the work and the will of God and passing it on to others. And so I just selected sort of four of the biggest models in the Bible to and cherry picked today some thoughts from them. I thought of Moses and Joshua. I thought of Elijah and Elisha. I'm thinking of David and Solomon. And I'm thinking of Jesus and his disciples. Those are the four pictures, and most of you will have read them at one time or another. If not, you can find them. You got to read the whole book of Deuteronomy and into Joshua to see the Moses-Joshua story. For Elijah and Elisha, you have to go to 2 Kings. For David and Solomon, you have to be in Kings and Samuel and kind of read it and think it through. For Jesus, of course, we go to the Gospels, and then we come to the Great Commission, and then we come to the book of Acts. In my Bible readings right now, I just moved from Luke to Acts. I don't know why. And as soon as you begin into Acts, you understand that what happened in that hinge of history was a phenomenal thing that we're still living out today. And I want to remind us of all that today, that the delegation of God's call, the impartation of his vision, is the change of order that comes through transition and succession. All we want is God's will, God's way, God's people to do God's thing. And so I begin today, and I'm going to read quickly two long passages, and then I'll just kind of move on. But going to 2 Kings chapter 2, we have the culmination of Elijah's time on earth with Elisha's stepping up. Verse 9 says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a very hard thing, or a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And then the other story from Joshua 1, beginning at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then down to verse 16, they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And then jumping to the fourth chapter, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. There's a lot of stuff in those verses, and I haven't even got to the Jesus part and the David and Solomon part. So I have just simply selected 5 points on the back of your outline, 5 thoughts that I want to draw from there, and try to restrain myself from going down every other rabbit trail that could come out of these scriptures. You heard me read them. You can read them for yourselves. You can study the context. You can take them home, as can Marcel for himself as well. The first thought that came to me is that a leader flourishes with a father's blessing. A leader flourishes with a father's blessing. Moses and Joshua served side by side for over 40 years. Joshua was his servant. Sometimes Joshua stayed in the tent of meeting, as it was called, it seemed like forever, while Moses was out doing his thing. Sometimes Joshua helped hold his hands up. Sometimes Joshua was his spokesman, along with, of course, Aaron. He was his executive assistant. He had lived through the failure of the faith of Israel to go across Jordan the first time. He and Caleb had stood alone amongst that team and bring in a positive report, a report of faith. And now he served for 40 years in the wilderness wanderings as Moses led Israel in this time of chastening, of cleansing, of direction. And so he was like a son to him. There was a relationship there. And it's been really rich to just watch over these last few months as the 18 years of working together of Owen and Marcel has flourished. And that's the context in which leadership flourishes, is with a father's blessing. But I thought most of Elijah and Elisha, because when you read the story of Elijah and Elisha and you begin to talk about transitions, inside you with this whole concept of a double portion, it just kind of excites you, right? I'm sure you've heard more than one prophecy around that about different seasons and different people's lives. Double portion just sounds great. Greater work of the Holy Spirit than ever before. Greater, 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 greater. We love those kind of thoughts and those kinds of thinking. And it was true. Bible scholars like to say that Elisha had twice as many miracles in his ministry as did Elijah. It took a posthumous one after Elisha's death, to hit the double mark. But if you do the history and you do the studying, you'll find that is true. But as I thought about it this week, I thought about something different. It's great to have double portions. It's great to dream great dreams and have these fanciful visions of doubling and increasing and seeing God work in mighty ways like never before. But the phrase double portion comes from the speaking of a family's inheritance in the Bible amongst the Jewish people, amongst God's people. You see, in a patriarchal society, when the father was coming to the end of his life, amongst his sons, the eldest would get a double portion. That's how nowadays you'd be in court over that probably, right? This was a different society. The eldest son got a double portion. Why is the question, did he get a double portion? Was it because he just had the good fortune of being born first? No. Was it because, forget all the alternatives. The answer was he had to carry on the responsibility for the family. He had to have a greater piece of property, greater herds, greater sense of responsibility, because what was key, what was important in the society was that someone would care for the family. Someone would step up and take responsibility for the family. That's what double portion means. And if you're following what I read in Kings there, you'll once again see this family connection as Elisha said, Father, oh Father, as Elijah disappeared. There was a father-son relationship there. There was a blessing that came down upon Elisha. It's that blessing of God that comes down on leaders that makes a difference and allows a leader to flourish. I want to focus on that because I believe in the natural, it's happening here, but also I believe that for us to understand how God works, the stepping forward of a leadership role is to step forward to take responsibility, to put on a cloak that isn't just a cloak with a title and an honor, but it's a cloak that has a burden, a calling, an acceptance on it. And we affirm that today. It's not just true of who's the lead pastor now of Valley Church. It's true in our families. It's true in our communities. It's true in our nation. It's true wherever God is working and whatever God is doing. He calls people to step up and receive a double portion, not just of the work of the Spirit, but an acceptance of the responsibility that this particular assignment comes to. Move on to number two. Watching the clock carefully. A new leader faces a new and different challenge or opportunity. Here's the deal. We're wanting this to be a nice moment in the history of this church and of your leadership transition and succession. But guess what? We aren't talking about going on a cruise here. We're talking about a spiritual warfare that we're involved with in this day and age. When Joshua got the handoff from Moses, he was going into what we understand to be their taking of the promised land, and for decades in the future, he fought battle after battle. He had challenges, in front of him in serving God with Israel, that it's kind of unbelievable. That's where we're at today. We're at wanting the vision of God and the work of God to grow and impact and change a world, because that's what Jesus has left for us. Joshua didn't just pick up the results of God's blessing Moses' leadership. He picked up the continuation of the vision, and it was a battle. Elijah was called to serve in a very difficult time. David had been dead for 150 years. The chief king in Elijah's time was an ungodly guy by the name of Ahab with a weird wife by the name of Jezebel. He had his hands full. He spent part of his life in hiding. He called down curses on Israel. He had great victories where he called fire out of heaven to come up against the hundreds of prophets of Baal. He thought he stood alone. God had to remind him when he got depressed, because he was a guy who got depressed, that he still had 7,000 people serving him. But he felt alone. This wasn't just, oh, I'm the prophet of God. This is a person called to a difficult season, a difficult time. And that's what Elisha had to pick up. He wasn't just picking up, oh, Elijah, there was 50 prophets there. Elijah produced a school of prophets. Elisha was one of them. There was prophets, there was people serving God, but it was in an ungodly world with ungodly leadership, with perverse, self-seeking, self-serving people in charge of Israel. And these were God's spokesmen in a difficult time. It can sound romantic until you see where these prophets stood in time. What faced them, the persecution that faced them, the loneliness that faced them. Whatever we're called to, and this is true not just of Marcel today, but of any one of us in whatever God has commissioned us to do, wherever he's called us in the business world, in our family life, in this community, in time, in history, whatever it is, it's a tough chore. And there's going to be a lot of work ahead. And there's going to be ongoing generations. There's going to be a lot of challenges. And that's why God needs leaders. As a pastor, I've often had to say things like, when you're sitting in your office, maybe you're sitting with your leaders or another pastor, and you're kind of thinking, man, this is a mess. And we say with a little smile on our face, well, that's why they pay us the big bucks. You wouldn't need a pastor. You wouldn't need a people of God if there wasn't a world that was full of sin and rebellion and failure and anxiety. That's why God puts all of us in this place as his people. Point three, a new leader will need to cross the Jordan. I just kind of didn't record it until this week, but Joshua chapter 4, I caught that one for many years. That's when Joshua led Israel across the Jordan. And that verse I read you from verse 14, where they honored him and said, we're going to follow you and love you and obey you fully, just as we did Moses. Well, yeah, most of us have read Exodus, so we know how that works, really. But they made this commitment. They made this pledge. What they saw, God working through Joshua, and they stood with him. Because the Jordan was crossed, they saw the presence and the power of God. See, Joshua wasn't a nice guy. He might have walked with them through many experiences. But if God put him in a place where he also evidenced the power and the working of God, and they crossed the Jordan. Funny that Elisha did the same thing. That's why I threw this little thought in here. He saw Elijah disappear, took off his clothes, took up Elijah's cloak, figured, well, it's now or never. The Jordan opened up for him in the presence of 50 of the school of the prophets. And they said, oh, yes, I can see the spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha. There will be many Jordans to cross. There will be a great challenge ahead. And we need the Lord. Marcel and Christina need the Lord. You need the Lord. This church needs the Lord to fulfill the vision of God, to fulfill his calling, to move ahead in what he would have us do. Requires the Spirit of God and the presence of God. Do you know that? Oh, I'll move on. Well, let me just say one thing without being too. My son-in-law just did the same thing at this past year at church on the island. Just stepped up to be the senior leader at his church. And from his dad, his biological dad. And a few months later, it's all happened in a very short time. I'm watching from afar, although I'm talking on the phone almost every day. They had a great trial, crazy trial, a trial from outside. A false allegation that had the potential to mess up everything. And they walked through it and stood strong in it because it was a false allegation from the enemy and it was eventually recognized. But, you know, there was a week or two there where I saw my son-in-law. Now he's the lead guy, right? Up till now, it's where dad. He had to learn how to shut up. Hard for him, by the way. He had to learn how to work with his leaders in the midst of a sudden and crazy storm. And he did. And the leaders around him stood with him. Because you see, when those kind of things happen, that's when things can be divisive. Now, he would have rather have had a miracle like one of these guys, right? Cripple comes to the front of the church, you're healed in Jesus' name. Let's pay off our $2 million debt, take an offering, let's raise it all. That's not God's way. We wish it was more, right? And sometimes he does those things. But it was, can I stand? Do I recognize this storm? Will I take the discipline of God? Am I ready to go sleepless for a night or two? Am I ready to close my mouth when I need to? Am I ready to speak up when I need to? See, those are crossing the Jordan moments that happen in all our leadership. And they happen over and over again. And I'm praying that in this church, as you go through this transition and Marcel takes over, it'll be more like one of these miracles or one of these things where you'll all just say, wow, isn't God good? But it can come different. See, what happened to Joshua after they crossed the Jordan? They had Jericho. Boy, were they on fire. And then Ai hit. sin and failure in the camp. See, life, that's what life is. It's a battle. It's a journey going forward. And God has called you as a church, and he's called your leadership team, and now he's calling Marcel and Christina to be part of making a difference in this world as he enables and empowers you together. Oops, got to move on. Number four here. I'm only got 4 minutes. I can do it. That's why I say number four, a leader thrives as God's people step up. Israel supported Joshua. At least 50 prophets stood with Elisha. And no, Elisha wasn't the only prophet. And it's especially in the New Testament age, we're talking about a leader of leaders. We're talking about a team. We're not talking about any one person in any place, any church, any ministry, any nation. We're all in this together, but God puts people in their place and he aligns them for certain roles and responsibilities. And he calls us to support them and to love them and to pray for them and to stand with them and to put away false accusations and gossip and step up to move ahead. Because the role of the church, the role of God's people, the role of leadership today is primarily focused on solving problems. What's the problem in your community? God's calling you to help solve it. What's the problem in the nation of Canada? God's helping you. God's calling you to solve it. What's the problem with the broken family next door? God's calling you to contribute to solving problems. He's not calling this church or your leadership to be apparently grand and wonderful in the scheme of people. He's calling you to solve problems, to identify problems, to pray and seek God, to say, what can we do differently? How can we release you, Holy Spirit, to that problem? That's what he's calling you to. Which leads me to number five, a kingdom leader makes disciples who make disciples. This church is called, since Matthew 28 and 19 to this day, to make disciples of all nations. To see people come to faith and be baptized and be taught in the ways of God. To see demonized freed, to see addicts released, to see marriages saved, to see children raised up in faith, to see people and families translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about in Africa. That's what it's all about in Europe. That's what it's all about in the United States. That's what it's all about in Canada. That's what it's all about in North Vancouver. The greatest transition time, the greatest succession charge came before Jesus ascended into heaven. And he said in two or three occasions, but I read from Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Paul, whom Jesus called and released, said, and what in Timothy 2 and 2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We're just part of a transition that's began with Jesus' ascension and it's going to end with his return. And it's all about making disciples. It's all about what's the vision of God for this place, for this church, this leadership team. Well, that's what we want to know today, tomorrow, and the next day. But it's encaptured in this mission, the mission to make disciples and to pursue it. My prayer as I close in prayer for you is I believe God has a plan, God has a vision. You all, along with, it's part of its unfolding today in this induction, but it's just the beginning of what comes next. And God's called all of you to seek it together, to be captured together with the vision that he would bring. He has a plan. It's your collective call to receive it and live it out. There's at least three aspects to a compelling vision that God has given his church today. One is the disciple-making process. It can never leave the center of the table in your discussions, in your prayers, in your work, in your ministry, making disciples. Second is community impact. How do you bring redemption to North Vancouver? How do you touch and bless your community? Be like the exiles in Babylon You're called to pray and have families and plant gardens and bless the community and impact them, not huddle away from them. Community impact. And then, of course, thirdly, it's about the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our lives individually, in this church, and as a beacon of the presence of God in this community. Somewhere out of those three things, and maybe many others that you and I could list, comes the vision of God for this house and for this leadership. And I just want to pray as I close in this service for that to begin to take its new steps, as it has now for many years. Take a new and fresh step, because it is often in the hinge moment of changing over, changing a chapter in a church, which a new pastor often brings, are moments where God's people seriously say, what's this all about? And that's all God wants from you. Show us your will, Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for Marcel and Christina, but for Valley Church, for its elders, for its board, for its members, for its children, for its youth, for its staff, for its community, for its history. I thank you for that, for its current sense of blessing and honor, and for what you're bringing in the future. We pray that they will together know your will, experience the joy and the challenge of walking together to see your presence manifest in this place, to see people come to Christ, to see changes in the community, in families, in the people that come to this place wounded and are ministered to the people that are touched as they go into their world and in their job sites on Monday morning, in their recreational context, in their extended family. Lord, might your presence go with each one here and be stronger than ever in this place. As the world gets darker, so your witness will get brighter. And we look forward till we transition into glory with Jesus. Amen. God bless you.